Blog Talk Radio.
Besides, relationships are for people that are just waiting for something better to come along.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
Who are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Because of the way it was delivered.
How do you think a woman should put that to a man? How do you think that a woman should say to a man, this doesn't work for me? Or, you know, I'm not getting what I need from you.
I'm just so excited because tonight is the premiere of the Every Woman Talk Show. I am Natae, one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by a fantastic panel of women this evening. Uli, Signature, and Jackie, we're all sisters with different opinions. So for the next hour, we're going to talk about... And welcome to another hot, terrific Tuesday night at the Every Woman Talk Show. It's officially Ladies Night. Once again, it's February 11th. I am Natae, one of your co-hosts for the evening, and I have my girls on the line with me. We got Uli, we got Jackie, we got Sig. Hello, ladies.
Good evening.
Hi, you guys.
Hi,
Jackie. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Sig. How y'all doing?
I'm sick, so I sound like the Aflac duck.
You really do.
So y'all just kind of bear with me.
We can bear with that, with your voice. It's okay, girl. It's okay. We got you.
You know, actually, if I talk really low like this, it doesn't sound so bad.
No, then you're trying to sound sexy.
Well, it'd be sounding like a boy.
I always sound like a man.
Exactly.
Now, Sig, the weather, well, ladies in New Jersey, the weather, another storm coming up, but I saw that Atlanta is supposed to get a terrible ice storm. So, what do you think about that? How do you feel about that? Y'all ready this time around?
Oh, come on, please. Atlanta will never be ready for ice, and I'm not trying to put anybody down, but it's the South, and this is not a normal winter for them. They don't know how to drive in ice and snow. So... the storm keeps shifting. It's been shifting like every couple of hours since they started tracking it last week. I'm hoping it just shifts a few more times and shift the hell on out of here.
And shift spring right
they can't.
In.
They can't take it. And they're talking about, like, kids are out of school. Of course, yes, thank God the kids are out of school. The kids are going to be out of school for the rest of the week. They are running out of snow days here.
Yeah. Wow. We're having the same problem here as well.
Yeah.
They're talking about the kids that may have to go during their spring break and, you know, there some schools, I know in some of the more affluent communities, they're even doing Saturday school to try to make up the hours and the days.
Well, truth be told, they need to just let them go to school all year round anyway.
So, well, I said that. That's why the Japanese kids are so smart, but we're going to leave that one alone.
Yeah, well, they did that in L.A. A lot of places in L.A., they had year-round school, which was, you know, great for the people that wanted to work. The kids hated it, of course, but,
they'll get
you know, but they
had
so many
real
kids.
Life.
What'd you say?
Because I told my son, and he's like, Mom, so when you are grown, you don't get off in the summer? No, sir.
No, enjoy it now. Enjoy. Uh-huh. I remember when I was, you know, I would have my summer vacations, and I always had an aunt that she would always, you know, tell me, you better enjoy it now. But I guess she just kind of wanted to get in my school business, so she would give me books to read for the summer. And I was like, I'm not reading any books. This is my break. But she would give me those big, thick Jackie Collins novels with all the sex and romance and passion. And I just fell in love with it at sixth grade. So I would always read during the summer and during school. I always had a big book in my backpack. Okay. I was caught up.
Yeah, I think you should have a small break for them, just like we have our vacation while we're working.
Yeah.
We take a week off or 2 weeks off. I think they should have a short break.
But the thing is,
I don't know if they
should
have such a long break.
People think when they go all year round, oh, my God, they just go. They get breaks every 3 months.
Yes, they do. They get a break.
They get a break every 3 months. Yeah. So it's not as bad. And the only reason I like school all year round, having lived around the world, is because I see where it works. And then our kids have that big break in the summer. They spend the first 9 weeks recapping because they don't remember jack from last year.
Exactly. They say they lose 20% to 40% of what they've learned over the summer break because it's not reinforced. But I do notice here that I do see commercials. And it's unfortunate that you have to pay for it, but you get the Sylvan Learning Centers and the Hunterdon Learning Centers, and you know, they will advise, you know, people to send their kids there, but then it's something you have to pay for. So it you know, it doesn't work for everybody. But what I also have noticed is that the charter schools, they practically go all year round, and their days are longer. Instead of getting out at maybe 2:30, 3 o'clock, they're not getting out till 4:30, almost 5 o'clock. So
now that I don't agree with. If you're going to push their days, I don't agree with them being there longer. A lot of schools in Germany, those kids are out of school by 12. They go all year long. They go every other Saturday, but their day is in half.
Their days here are a lot longer. My son, when he did middle school, he went to like a privatized school just for middle school, and the day was an additional 45 minutes longer except on Thursday. Every Thursday they got out at noon, so it kind of balanced itself out and it worked out.
It's definitely time to do a change because clearly what's been happening, what's been working for us is not working for our children.
Absolutely.
With the
education system. Our kids are behind
system.
Every other country anyway. We need to step our game up. We need to do something.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we do have those learning centers, but you're right. They cost a freaking arm and a leg.
They cost so much.
And when you have multiple children, how do you do that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And don't have twins. And I feel sorry for those people that had triplets. I went to school with quads. I felt bad for their parents. I was like, all four of them are going to go to college at the same time. Two of y'all need to go.
You know, we got the twins over here.
I'm a twin, and you know what I have to say? The things we teach our kids, the math, the X plus Y, I mean, it just didn't work for me. It never worked for me.
Well,
Let's teach our kids how to balance a checkbook, how to invest, to think outside the box, to become entrepreneurs, stocks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but you know
stuff
what?
Like that.
I'm going to date myself, but who remembers home economics? In school,
who remembers
the fact that, you know, there were some things that when we went to school, with a little bit of an older generation than where our kids are, that we learned some practical things. I remember in high school, we had a business class. Right, so because a lot of young men didn't
go.
Right.
And
so
we had
business
classes.
We had home economics. You learned how to sew. You learned how to cook. We went to shop class. Yeah. And the thing is that they've taken all of these things out of the school.
Out of school,
And, you know, and I look at when we were in school, you know, we had spelling, we had grammar, we had math, we had social studies. And now that they've lumped so much of this stuff together, these kids aren't getting it. You know, they don't know how to – we had English. So they don't know how to structure sentences. They don't know how to structure paragraphs and stories
The worst thing I think they took out, now you know when we started in kindergarten or pre-K or whatever we did, we learned how to write and penmanship first.
I remember that.
We learned cursive. Well, they don't do that anymore. There is no cursive anymore. You can write whatever the heck you want to write now. However you want to write it, write it. You want to print it,
well,
print
that's
it.
Well, that's because in a minute they're going to be all using
technology.
Keyboards and cell phones.
Right.
I think technology just, that's taken away from
absolutely.
That. But my
kids did get
everything that we got. They get home economics. They got shop. They had the business classes. They even have the life studies class where you got to carry around a bag of flour, egg, or whatever.
Yes.
And they got those little crying babies.
Absolutely.
I told the crying baby to my house. Let me know I can do that because I will kill that thing. Those things cry for no reason. All of a sudden, it's the worst cry ever. My kids don't cry. I didn't play that. But they do. My kids get. I didn't play that. My kids get. They got all that. And as far as the balance of the checkbook and teaching all that other stuff like that, that was me. I did a life project with my kids and kids in my neighborhood to make sure that they knew that these are things that you have to know
in order to survive.
But that's a great thing because you're a mom and you do that with your kids. And I learned how to write a check by the time I was 10 at home. But so many kids don't get that. So a lot of the things they got it because it came through the exposure of school. And
well,
now that they've taken so many projects and things out, you know, and especially in your urban schools. Your urban schools, they are missing so much. And if you can't afford to put your kid in a private school or a charter school or redistrict your kid into a better school system, they get lost. They get lost. Like what they're doing right
now. Okay, but I think I'll never forget. They did sex education in school. I wasn't thrilled about that because my mom did it at home, and I wasn't thrilled about the whole we're gonna have a period thing. I was mad as hell about that. But I think I was really upset about that because I was like, I didn't eat the apple. I don't even eat red apples. Why me? So
no, that's
not
right.
Plus, you get to walk around naked. I wasn't gonna eat nothing to put clothes on. Forget that. But
no clothes, no shoes.
All right, ladies, we have a caller on the line. We have Ms. Wilma Davis. She's the co-chair for the Relay for Life of Newark Fashion Show event that's coming up this February 22nd on 2014. Ms. Davis, welcome to the Every Woman Talk Show.
Thank you for having me.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. A little nervous, but I'm good.
Don't be nervous.
Just like being at home on the couch.
Okay.
Exactly. We're like the sisters at the beauty salon talking on Saturday.
Absolutely.
Just jump right in and talk with us. But you have an event coming up on February 22nd. And actually, it's the fashion show on February 22nd, but you have the big event Saturday, June 14th. Can you tell us all about the relay event on June 14th?
So on Saturday, February 22nd is going to be our kickoff. Basically, we are trying to let the community be aware of what the American Cancer Society Relay for Life of Newark is in the city of Newark, New Jersey. So we're introducing the community and letting them know that we're here to try to help patients, you know, that has been diagnosed with cancer, and people just to have them aware of the different types of cancer. So that's the event that's going to be taking place. On Saturday, February 22nd at Science Park High School. The event that throughout this event is a kickoff for us for people to start building their teams and for them to start raising money for the day of June 14th. So once
Davis,
the day
I
of
don't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
Is there a particular number of members you need for your team?
No, you can have as many members in your team as you like. As long as you have the day of the event, you have your team members to come in. On the day of the event, the focus is that one of your team members is walking the track. We have a mini relay, so it's going to be the whole day. So it's just from 12 to 12. So, and also have your team members do events to raise money and just raise awareness in the community.
Great. Well, you know, of course, the Every Woman Talk Show, we will be there in full force supporting you. We want to speak to all of our listeners and our friends and our family out there and just ask you to come and support, come and join us for this worthy cause. Hang out with us for the day, but definitely we want to join in the fight against, you know, cancer, and we want to bring awareness to the community.
And the
reason...
I'm sorry.
By all means, go ahead.
So basically, the Relay for Life, I just want to give a little a brief description. The Relay for Life of Newark basically focuses on all types of cancer, not just breast cancer, but, you know, prostate cancer. So that's why I want to make sure that everyone knows that it's not just for one particular, it's not focused on one particular cancer. So that's what we're trying to bring awareness to the community.
Great. That is fantastic.
That's a good thing that you're not focusing on one particular cancer, because there are so many various cancers that some of us don't even know about, or don't know the cause of it, or the treatment for it, or who gets it, who doesn't get it. We really don't know. So the awareness is a big thing, especially if you're doing prostate cancer for men, breast cancer for women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's full spectrum, and I think we should make it a bigger thing than just breast cancer.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Now, we also have Ms. C. Strickland on the line from talking about the 2014 Relay for Life of Newark Fashion Show. Please welcome Ms. Strickland to the Every Woman Talk Show.
Hi,
Ms. Strickland.
Hello, everyone. Hi.
Hi.
So, Ms. Strickland, please give us some information about the fashion show on the 22nd.
The fashion show is it will include our kickoff, which introduces what Relay is all about. We're going to have some survivor speakers speaking, sharing their personal stories about how they overcame their cancer struggle, and we're planning on showing a video. We're planning on having resource tables there that will share about the different types of cancers, and we're also going to have vendors as well. And these vendors are business owners that have been affected by cancer one way or another. And then we're going to have local students coming in from the schools to help them with their volunteer hours to kind of expand the community engagement, and some of those students will be a part of the fashion show. So we'll be having local designers and local models coming on stage, and all going to be representing the different 22 colors of cancer. So it's a fundraiser.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now, how did you become involved in Relay for Life, and how long have you been working with the organization?
Actually, I was invited by someone that was doing a couple of years ago. They were involved in the entertainment for the event, and they just shared on their Facebook page that they were a part of this event. They wanted, you know, people to come and join the team, and so I started looking into it, and I said, okay, this looks interesting, because I had never heard of Relay for Life. I've always heard of the Strides Walk for breast cancer, but I never knew that there was another event that covered all the other 100 cancers that they never really hear about on the news.
Wow.
You never really hear anything about it. So I came on as a team the first year, and then the second year, I joined the committee because I found out that there was a lot of people that were getting cancer, and they couldn't read. Maybe they were illiterate. That's the reason why they were dying off so quickly. Their survival rate wasn't as long as someone, you know, that had the information that was needed in order to fight, you know, the good fight against cancer. So that was why I actually came on board, was to kind of spread the awareness and try to get it out to the entire city of Newark that this does exist, and this is a place where all cancer survivors can come together and share their story and be a support to someone that's actually going through that particular cancer that they might be, you know, they may have also went through. So that's my passion. That's what drives me to be a part of Relay.
Awesome, awesome. Now, will the models in the fashion show, are they cancer survivors themselves?
No, actually there are some cancer survivors, but we're asking for anyone to participate. They would just go to the fashion show website, and then they would just check off that they want to be a model, and they can either wear one of the designer pieces that might be there, one of the boutiques that may be having some clothes there, or they could just wear something, you know, that they might have in their closet that represents the color of a particular cancer that has affected them personally in their lives. So, I mean, it's a more informational kind of fashion show with the message of spreading the awareness about the different colors, and then that opens the door to discuss, you know, okay, well, I never heard of this cancer before, and this color, I never knew that this went with that, so what is this cancer? And so then they start to read and get more educated on it, so when they go to the doctor, they'll have the right questions to ask.
Yeah. That's important. That's huge, because we need the education. Now, please tell our listeners, like, what they can do to get involved, if there's a website, if there's a donation.
Yes. The website that they can go to is www.relayforlife.org/NORC, New Jersey, and NORC is spelled out, and New Jersey is the initial. And if they go to that actual website, they'll see information about the fashion show. They would click the link, and then that would send them to the site, the fashion show site, where if they're a designer or a boutique, they can, you know, it's still time for them to come on board. If they're a performer, or if they want to sponsor the event, if they want to donate food, or if they have something that they would like to give away for our silent auction, they can do that. And we're also looking for volunteers to help us, you know, with the backstage stuff and setting up and registration and photography and, you know, anything to get the kids, the students involved, and also helping them with the community hours that they need in order to further their education, probably with college or for whatever, you know, they need the hours for.
Okay.
Wonderful.
All right. And there is a small donation you're asking for, correct?
Yeah, there's a suggested donation of $25, but it is suggested. So, I mean, people can give what they can. It is a fundraiser to help raise funds for cancer research. So the students, if they come, it's $5. If it's a cancer survivor, it's $5. If a caregiver comes with a survivor, you know, then, I mean, that would pretty much cover, like, $20, $25, $30, and that would be the donation, and that would sign them both up for the event on June 14th, which is to register for that. But if they come and they submit that day, that donation, it covers them, so they don't even have to go through the process again for June 14th.
Okay.
So they're going to get food, and they're going to have food, and, you know.
You know, it sounds great, because it's almost like it's a two-for-one in the sense that we can come and get so much education, but we can also give back. And so we want to encourage everybody just to gather together, pull a friend, pull a neighbor, pull a stranger, and support, come out. $25 is a suggested donation, and it's such a small price, because we all know someone that has been affected by cancer. So even if you want to go to the Every Woman Talk Shows page on Facebook and find the Relay for Life event, click the donate button, please support. Come out on June 14th. We're going to have the Every Woman team, and we're going to be walking and participating in the Relay. So please, all of our listeners, just join us, support us, help us fight cancer, help us learn about all different types of cancer. And ladies, we appreciate you coming on and talking with us, and we're wishing you a successful event, and we will definitely see you there February 22nd and June 14th.
It's going to be a great event.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
And on that note, we got to take a break right now. So when we come back, we are talking about Black history again. Tonight our topic is, I bet you don't know what you may not have learned in school. So don't go anywhere. We're coming right back, all right? And also want to remind you that we have a special gift tonight for the first three callers. But the thing is, you got to call in order to win. And our number is 646-478-4507. Call us and talk to us and let us and our listeners know some important facts about Black history that we may not have learned in school. So don't go away. DJ, take us to break.
What we going to do right here is go back. Way back
in that time. You are now rocking with New Jersey and New York's very own hit radio station.
I'm
Yeah, baby, yeah!
Around, baby. We were all Y'all digging it, so just turn up your radio, wherever you at. We about to bring it.
Count of three, I want y'all to tell me the name of my DJ. 1, 2, 3.
Welcome back to the Every Woman Talk Show. You know what, I just have to say, that music break was on. I was jamming. I was jamming during the music break. It took me back to Twin City, the skating rink. I don't know.
Oh, no, you didn't go there.
Oh, yes. Yes, rock with you. Oh. Yeah. But I just had to say that. I'm sure our listeners was feeling the same way. But thank you for, you know, staying tuned with the Every Woman Talk Show. And I want to remind you that our call-in number is 646-478-4507. And tonight our topic is, I bet you don't know. We're talking about things that you may not have learned in school, tidbits about African-American history that happened during Jim Crow and after the slaves were free that you may not know. And one thing I want to start off with is that the Underground Railroad is not actually a railroad. It's not
okay,
a railroad.
Portia.
For anybody else, that's
okay,
all
Portia.
That is not a railroad. But this right here, you know, an important... Exactly. This right here is an important topic for me as well, because I remember being in high school, and the history class was like, ugh. You know, I wanted to learn something cute, something pretty. I loved English, but in history, they were always talking about those Romans, the Incas, those Perus, that George Washington, and it just... I tuned out because I felt I just didn't – it bored me half to death. I would literally – I would put my head down on the desk, and I would go to sleep because, y'all, I had snuck out the night before and hanging out and stuff. And by the time I got to school and history class, I was tired. And George Washington just – he wasn't doing it for me anymore.
I know that's
so,
right.
Yeah, it just – I wanted to know about somebody that looked like me, somebody that I can relate to. And it was we never got that. So I'm just happy that we're sharing some tidbits of information, and I encourage our listeners to don't just listen tonight, but to participate. Call in and share little known facts that, you know, you may have, we may have. Call in and share with us. And again, our call in number is 646-478-4507. But Sig, I'm going to you first because I've been enjoying your posts on Facebook all this week. You have been putting out some information that I just kind of wanted to jump through the screen myself and just go back in time. Just go back in time. So we're going to pass it over to you. We're going to let you talk a little bit. I saw that you wrote about Black Wall Street and just a myriad of things. So, my dear, you can start us off, lead us off, give us some information. What have you learned this week? What do you want to share with us starting out the box?
First, I want to say something about the Relay for Cancer. For people that are not in the Jersey area, if you go to Events for Cancer Society, you can find a Relay event in your area. Just put in your city and your state or your zip code, and it will pop up. I've always done Relay for Life everywhere I've been. They have events all year round. I will be there June 14th to support you guys in Jersey. I'll put it on my calendar. I'll be there for that. Cancer riddles my family. They don't have enough sense to get high blood pressure and have heart attacks. They die of cancer. I'm not saying that to be funny. It's always what, you know, I tell everybody, we don't have all that other stuff. Our numbers are great. We just get attacked with cancer. So it's a big issue for me. It's something I've always support. My kids support it. Again, if in your area you can find an event, and all of them are very informative, and you can participate, go out and support, because the fight against cancer is not over. Nowhere near over.
Not even close. Great point, Sid.
So I just want to say that. But if you can make it to Jersey June 14th to get to meet us, woohoo, I'll be there.
I know that's right.
You can meet all of us and see all of us.
That would be so nice. Yes, you're coming.
I know that's right.
Woohoo.
Okay, Underground Railroad. I'm so glad you said that. It is not a railroad. It's amazing how many people don't really know that.
Too funny.
Google tour of the Underground Railroad. There are tours you can take where you can be actually walk part of it in various states. Just Google it. I encourage everybody, if you get near a tour, pay the money, do the tour. and watch yourself step back in time. And you'll learn something before it's over. I think it's very important that we learn something on a daily basis. Don't do anything if you're not getting anything from it other than your 30 minutes of entertainment. The rest of your day should be spent learning something.
Amen.
So I recommend everybody find an Underground Railroad tour and do it. I've done a couple. They are very informative. Very.
I think if people could actually take the tour and do it, they could kind of equate what they've learned a little bit better, because it's like you're actually walking that same path. You're actually there, so you can kind of understand what that whole experience is about. So that's got to be a great thing to do.
Yeah. Little known facts, man. You'd be amazed at the little known facts. I've always been one. I'm a big reader. Always have been since I was a kid. So those little paragraphs that they give us for Black history and books when we're growing up, I always went home and found that other stuff. I know you want me to talk about Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street.
No, talk
about
whatever.
Okay, good, because my thing is slavery by another name. I am passionate.
Yes, I saw you were so passionate about that, so please jump in there. I was
slavery
hoping you would.
By another name, because they would have us to believe that when Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation,
it was
over. Hell no, it wasn't. It was not
over. Go ahead.
They came up with different ways, because I encourage everybody to visit PBS documentary series. You can get it from there. You don't have to buy it. You can actually YouTube it, Slavery by Another Name, and watch the documentary. Very powerful. If you're like me, you're going to want to own it.
Right.
Slavery by Another Name explains how, you know, the white man was like in the South. The South, oh my God. They didn't want to suddenly have to pay for something they were getting for free. So they had to find another way to keep blacks enslaved. And we learned about indentured servants when we were growing up. Yes, we learned about that. And we thought that was a choice that was made. That was one of the things that happened to us. They started picking blacks up for no reason, arresting them, and their punishment was to go work on somebody's plantation.
Uh-huh.
Or
well, that was part of the movie that was out too. That's exactly how the movie played out with the 12 Years of Slave. That's exactly what happened to that man.
Look how long it took them to put that out. And that movie, that is a great movie. I got a chance to get in the ground floor of that documentary. I do documentaries a lot. And I was like, oh my God, I want to see that. And then I watched it and I was like, oh my God, it reminds me of 12 Years of Slave. You've got to check out the history. You've got to see what happened. You've got to see that where, as we today, when people say, oh, I'm oppressed, I can't do this, I don't buy into that, because they actually made a stand finally, 8 years later, they made a stand for this is what's going on, and this is we've been done an injustice. You say you're going to take – somebody's walking down the railroad. I don't want to get a documentary away. Somebody's walking down a railroad track trying to get back home. They get picked up, and their family don't know where they are. They're back in slavery, but they're being told they're being punished because, you know, we have a warrant for your arrest, or you've done so-and-so, or you owe Mr. So-and-so some money. And they had no
Which
voice
so
at the time. And they just took them and did whatever they wanted to do with them. And it's horrible. It is really, really horrible. This country was built on the black on the backs of blacks.
Absolutely.
Anything that they've told us about in a history book, go one step further and find out what happened after. What happened before? What happened around it?
Absolutely.
It's very important. And PBS has the best documentaries, the best untold stories. When you're walking past these buildings in your neighborhoods and in your cities and you see this and you go, okay, this building was named after and this man was an icon, this man was a legend. Find out what that man did. I'm talking about Dr. A.G. Gaston in Birmingham. Legacy.
Yes.
And it's kids in Birmingham that have no clue what he did, who he was. They're like, I don't know. I have no idea. This man was a self-made millionaire in Birmingham, of all places, during the time when that just was not going to happen. He didn't have a sixth grade education. Third, keep going back and forth, third grade, sixth grade. He was not a college graduate. Yet he saw an opportunity to provide a service to us as blacks, because they didn't want to insure us back in the day. We weren't worth being insured. So when it came time to being buried, they passed the hat at the funeral so they could pay for the burial. He started off selling burial insurance. He figured if he had an idea, he would try it. All he could do was fail at it and then just try something else. He built a legacy. Dr. A.G. Gaston, I'll never forget it. He named his insurance company Booker T. Washington Insurance Company. Everybody thinks that that company was named after Booker T. Washington. It's not. It's named after him, but it's not his company. It was Dr. A.G. Gaston.
Uh-huh.
Was an honorary doctor here and there and everywhere. This man traveled around the world. He visited the White House. He did business deals with people that you never thought would happen. So I'm just encouraging people. I don't want to tell the stories because I want people to do their research. Check them out. That man wrote a book. He wrote his own book called Green Power. It explained how blacks could save and make money and become and enrich themselves and become self-made millionaires. So check him out. I'm just saying, check him out. The book Green Power is hard to get in Birmingham, Alabama. There's A.G. Gaston Boys and Girls Club. I'm going to put her name out there. Her name is Rose Walker. Contact her there. Tell her that you heard that the Boys and Girls Club gets you a copy of that book. Read his book. Very powerful.
Awesome. Education is key. Right. Knowledge is key. And it opens so many doors. It without it, we are truly lost. And there's so much that's hidden from us.
Sure. Do you think our people are afraid to know, some of our people, because we definitely know that most of us are not, but some of us are afraid to really know the truth behind, and that's why we are not educating our children, that's why we're not educating ourselves, that's, you know, I see that a lot.
You know,
I
think that's true, because you hear people say, oh, I can't watch this because it just makes me angry. Okay,
you don't
want to
stir up feelings.
You're supposed to get angry.
Right.
Yeah, Ruth pissed me off because that's the only thing they want to show, and it's more to us than that. But
right.
The history is there. The emotion is there. If you have a soul, it's a tearjerker. History is going to jerk your tears.
Absolutely.
I don't care whose history you're looking at. It's going to jerk your tears because nothing was all roses. Nothing was great. But in order to find out where you're going to go, find out where you need to be, you need to find out what happened. And then maybe if you check out the history, and you see these doors, these people open, you'll understand why that door was open for you and why it's important that you open that door for the next generation.
And not only that, not only do we get to see what doors have been opened, but by knowing your history, you also get to see where you don't want to go back to. And sometimes I look at where we are today and I say, are we still striving forward or at times are we taking some steps backwards?
And
it bothers me because I'm like, there are so many that gave up so much, who sacrificed so much so that we could have the opportunities that we have, and we even take them for granted. We're indifferent to them, or we don't know about them, and therefore when you don't know, you're more than liable to go backwards. You have to know where you come from, and you have to know what you've been through in order not to go back to some of those same places.
Sig, you said something on last week's show that was, you know, it really spoke volumes, that our parents or our families were the storytellers. We used to share information, and somehow we've gotten away from sharing information about, you know, the Dr. Gastons and you know, different things that took place in our history. So we've almost, some of us have grown up with a level of ignorance and lack of respect. You know, like Dr. Gaston, he's a perfect example that you don't have to be a singer or entertainment or athlete, and not knocking any of them, but you can create wealth, or you can businesses and not be in the limelight. A lot of our young people, they think the only way they can make money, and that shouldn't be our focus, making money, but the only way they can make money is to, you know, be in the entertainment industry, and that is not so. The focus needs to be more of leaving a legacy, you know, building business so that we can bring somebody else up. But we've got to tell a story.
I have a question. I'm sorry, Sid, go ahead, and I'm address that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. My question was going to be, do you think that we still have that level of pride? Because like you said last week about our parents and our family and, all, you know, being the storytellers, there was a pride about that. Do you think that we still have that same sense of pride
I think we don't. I tell everybody, I said, the part of our problem is, you know, we get upset, oh, they're going to call us niggas and they're going to call us that. And yes, I said it. I say it. I use the word. It means nothing to me. It does not define me. It does not make me who I am. It's just a damn word. They call us this. They say we do this. They say we do that. They will only show us in the light in which we accept us.
Come on.
So until we accept the fact that we are better than that, that we are not just a bunch of ignorant niggas that don't know how to do nothing but perform and play ball, that we have minds that we can think, that we can open our own doors, that we can run our own business, that we can start our own.
But with that being said, the unfortunate thing with that, there are a lot of families who don't have any role models to roll after. If we have some entrepreneurs in that family, somewhere down the line, someone's going to follow that person. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many families who don't have anybody to look up to be a role model.
And then what do we do?
We look on TV.
That's the way
for our role model.
Turn the damn TVs off. Nothing on TVs but
absolutely
the reruns and a bunch of lying people that's on.
Absolutely.
And you know what? We watch those shows and then we look at them as, oh, my God, no. Every black woman I know is not ghetto. Do not act like the real house of anything, housewives of anything. And true housewives do not act
right
like those women act on TV for real. Because I don't care who you marry to, white, black, Chinese, or whatever, he would probably slap the taste out your mouth if you came at him acting like that. Black women are portrayed to have attitudes and to be the strong,
right,
independent black woman. And that's a bad thing to me. I don't want to be considered that. I don't want to be called that. Because wherever, yes, I can get level 10 with you, it's not necessary and it's not how I function. I can come at you on an intellectual level. I can beat you down with a smile on my face, and I'm not going to have attitude about it, and I'm not going to be rolling my neck, and my hand is not going to be on my hip. And until we understand that, that power and that passion that people are propelling us, that black, angry black woman, is not what that means. That passion was in the storytelling. That passion was in the, I'm going to take care of the home and still respect my man. Even if he's not here, when he comes back, he's still going to be the head of the household. And we've taken that power and that passion and that soulfulness of us, and we've made it the most negative thing in the world. And we've allowed the masses to portray us as that, and everybody hoops and hollers for these shows and all this entertainment, and that's not what it's supposed to be. We've lost respect for self, and we've allowed them to portray us.
Amen.
In that.
That's just it. We've
Amen.
Lost respect for self. That's it right
and
here.
And we play into the perpetuated stereotypes all the time. And I'm like, you know, when do we say this is not who we all are? This is not what we all represent. We are so much more than that. And we allow the minds, especially of our children, to be shaped by the media in various forms. Like, when do we take that back and say, you know what, I'm going to help shape you? Good, bad, or indifferent, but at least take the time to help shape the thinking of your own children so that, like was said, you can leave some sort of a legacy behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it was a mother, a father, an auntie, an uncle, a cousin, a distant relative from wherever, there was somebody usually in the family in which you would want to try to model yourself after. Oh, you know what, you need to be like your cousin Ray Ray. He went to school and he started his own business, or he's working, he's doing this, he's doing that. We don't seem to say that to our children anymore.
That's exactly what I was saying. There's no one to be a role model anymore.
But you know, also, that's no excuse.
That
I think we have to.
Be you. And I'm willing to say, okay, be you. I'm accepting who you are. I have kids. They're all different. I accept them on their own levels. They're individuals. Who rock for that? But I expect a certain thing out of you in your individuality, and I don't expect for you to go out there and embarrass me, and I don't expect for you to go out there and do something because somebody else is doing it. You present self to me, and you present what will make me proud of you, and most importantly of all, don't embarrass yourself, because if you embarrass yourself out in public, I can help you with that. I won't be embarrassed.
You better preach.
And so now I wonder, have we stepped away from, and we got to get back to, you know, some important facts here, but have we stepped away from disseminating this type of information within our families and put it on the plates of, like, the black church, to kind of teach our kids who we are and our faith, and, of course, school, which we know that school has failed a lot of our kids. So have we taken our history and kind of just shifted it over to the black church and to let them kind of, you know,
In all honesty, I don't think we've shifted it to anybody. I don't think a lot of us I don't think a lot of people are concerned. I don't think a lot of people are interested. And I don't want to speak for the masses, but I think, there just seems to be a sense of it's not really that important anymore.
It's not relevant to them anymore.
And
that's the problem.
And so, therefore, it's like that responsibility really hasn't been shifted to any one particular place or one particular organization. And the organizations that are still trying, I think, to maybe reach out aren't getting a reception because it's just like, oh, well.
But I think the problem is we sit back as the masses and we expect for everybody else to fix something for us. And we need to take our lives back and be responsible for what we are because we live in a democracy, supposedly, but it should not have taken the first lady to say your child is fat. You knew that little fucker was fat when you saw him sitting on the couch and you let him play the video games 14 hours a day and eat snacks all day long. You knew that PE was being taken out of the schools if you paid attention to the fact that your kids were saying, I need a PE uniform, I need to have tennis shoes, I need to have this, I need to have that. We did PE every freaking day. And if that didn't get on my nerves, but I appreciate it. I respect the fact that we did that. If we as parents and as neighbors and as mentors and as leaders in our homes and our communities and our neighborhoods, if we do not say, hey, get a bunch of kids outside, let's go do this, let's go do that, if we don't take back our lives, we're going to let the masses dictate to us. And then what's going to happen in our history? The little known fact for our history is going to be they seem to have faded into the woodwork.
Come on.
No, we're not fading. We're not fading. And to let everybody, remind everybody that we're not fading, we're going to give them some more information. So what are some other little-known facts that we need to throw out there?
Well, since Sid kind of started us on the slavery by another name, let's kind of go with that whole area of Jim Crow and after slavery and where Jim Crow kind of came from. You know, when you start digging around, like you said, you find some things that you never knew you knew and or they just never really talked about. And, you know, I was like, okay, where does the term Jim Crow come from? Because I didn't know. I didn't know if anybody else knew. And it was after a gentleman named Thomas Dartmouth Rice, who was a performer, and he would do minstrel shows. And his minstrel character was named Jim Crow. And, you know, he would go around all over the United States and into Europe in blackface, and that's kind of where they took that label from and kind of slapped on for the Jim Crow and how we kind of lived all the way up after slavery until during past the Civil Rights era.
And see, that's a little known fact. They don't put in our history book.
No. Another thing, I thought Rosa Parks was the, you know, the first woman that refused to give up her seat on the bus.
Absolutely not.
You know, because that's all you did. No disrespect to Mrs. Parks. We appreciate you. We love you and we celebrate you. But, you know, I found out back in 1864, Elizabeth Jennings, you know, she was late for church one day, and she held down a horse-drawn streetcar, and she didn't know whether it said, you know, Negroes allowed on it. So she jumped up in the horse car with her friend, and then she was told to get off, and she refused. So she was the first one. And then after, you know, years later, came Claudette Colvin. She was a 15-year-old girl that was made to give up her seat on the bus. And, again, she refused, and she fought. But she could not be the Rosa Parks, quote unquote, because her image wasn't that clean. She was she was pregnant at 15, and she was thought to, you know, bring disdain upon the black people. So so they didn't use her. But also, you know, remembering and realizing that Rosa Parks, she was not guilty of violating the law, but she was guilty of disobeying the bus driver because the law said that you couldn't sit, and the blacks couldn't sit in the first 10 rows, but actually she was sitting in the seat in the 11th row. So she was really arrested for disobeying the bus driver back then. And, again, no disrespect to Mrs. Parks, but it's just to know additional information.
And what I find interesting with the Rosa Parks story is Rosa was just tired. She was tired. She just didn't want to get, she was like, look, I have been on my feet working all day. I'm just tired, and I'm not going to give up. It wasn't that. It was like, I want to start a movement. I was tired.
Right.
And therefore, that's what sparked the movement, because a woman who was tired, who had been to work, said, no, I'm where I'm supposed to be. And therefore, I don't have to get up because I've worked just like you. So you go sit someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And Rosa had a stellar reputation, so she could, you know, she could start the bus boycott. She could lead. Mm-hmm. So that was just, you know, it was interesting. It was interesting to know. And, Sig, on your Facebook page, I was reading about Black Wall Street. I'm going back there because I just thought it was an excellent. You know what? I jumped in. I just visually jumped in. So we're going to talk about Black Wall Street now and give us a little bit of information because it was just, you know, I was reading it and wondering, my God, how do we get from Black Wall Street to hanging out on the street corner and just doing what we do? Huh. You know, how?
It's all like the crab and a barrel thing, the miseducation of the Negro.
Yes.
Whenever we decide we're going to get together and we're going to do something, something always comes in and somebody wants to destroy it. And that's how with Black Wall Street. You talk about a self-sufficient society of black people making money and depending on each other. And guess what? Black-supported, black-owned businesses, you could actually go in and actually get service without being treated like somebody's homegirl, which I find to be the most annoying thing in the world. So, and when they were like, oh, my God, we got a bunch of black people that's about to get powerful. So they took it out. Again, I don't want to tell the whole story. I want people to do the research. I want people to find it for themselves. But imagine a city in Oklahoma. It was in Oklahoma of all places you would not believe. Where there was a black community, self-sufficient, didn't depend on anybody, didn't need anybody else. And what happens with us as blacks is they spent years tearing us down and tearing us apart and separating us and pitching one against the other to where it's the norm. It seems to be the way it is. It seems to be the way it's supposed to be. We don't want to see other people succeed. Oh, my God, if she's doing this, and oh, she must have got on her back to get to the top. Why can't we celebrate her happiness? And because they don't want us to get to another Black Wall Street. They don't want us to succeed. They don't want us to be prosperous and go back to our heritage and be the culture and the nation that we should be. Mm-hmm. So every time we try, they tear us apart. And rather than come back together and say no and stand against and say this is not going to happen, we're not going to deal with this, we've separated. We've allowed the miseducation of the Negro to be what we are. We've allowed the crabs in the barrel to be the way we focus. We've allowed that Willie Lynch story to just fester and grow and just keep going and keep going. I noticed that people will make jokes about the Mexicans. Oh, they come here and 15 people live in a house. You know what? I applaud that. Because 15 people living in that damn house, guess what? 15 people are going to make it. And a year from now, when you see 15 people by 15
they're
houses
all okay.
in 15 different subdivisions, then you go, oh, they're no longer 15 deep in a car.
They have a cleaning service. They got a cleaning service. They got a landscaping service. They have a nanny service. They will have about, with those 15 different people, they will have 15 different businesses up and running. And we sit
there and we laugh and talk about them. But that goes back to, once again, they're united. We have lost how to stay united. We don't support us. We don't support our people. We don't support our families. We just don't do it, you know. It's just, and we make excuses for it. Of, oh, they black, that ain't gonna be a good thing, or they black, they ain't gonna do the right thing. And we do that.
That's the whole divide and conquer. And when they and from the days of the slave ship, when they would put us all together, or should I say when they would separate us and say, oh, the lighter ones are going to be here, the darker ones are going to be here, separate the ones who have the same languages, you divide and conquer. And that's how you get them. And then after that, after living that way for so long, it becomes the mentality of who we are. And then it becomes, you know what? Oh, well, they think they're better than this. And this one thinks they're better than instead of us all coming together, because at the end of the day, light skin, dark skin, north, south, east, west, we all got the same damn issue.
Exactly. We're still black.
That's it. But they're not going to call you by a different name.
Here's my little black history problem. I come from a biracial family. My mother is black, and she's very dark-skinned, beautiful woman. And my mother's and my father's white. There are 14 of us. My mother and father gave birth to 14 children.
Ten boys.
Four girls. We the color of the damn rainbow. From the sun up to sundown, we're all different. You can tell we're all brothers and sisters because we all look exactly alike, but we're all different shades of the rainbow.
when my mother had her first child, very, very fair. I guess my grandmother was okay with that. I'm talking about my father's mother. She had her second son, very fair. She was all right with that one, too. Oh, but then we started getting dark. Girl. And she said, don't bring them niggas back in my house. So he said, if they can't come back, we don't come back. None of us come back. So he has three brothers and a sister. I've only known one of my uncles because he also married a black woman and I guess was ostracized from the family. So I never knew where I came from. I never knew my other side of the family because we weren't allowed to know them. And he didn't think it was important enough to give us information because of how they treated us or how they treated him and his wife and his children. When my mother and father separated, my youngest brother was 5 or 6. So we kind of like lost contact, you know, didn't really deal with him too much or whatever. I really didn't anyway deal with him too much because when they separated, I saw my mother cry. When my mother cried as a young girl, I didn't know what it was really about. You know, they just weren't seeing eye to eye. The marriage wasn't working. But when you see your mama cry, oh, no, I don't like you anymore, man. Whether you're my father or not, I saw my mother cry. So me and him, you know, went our ways. Shortly, recently, I think my older daughter now is 21. She might have been 10 or 9 or 10 at the time. And my brother came to us and said, you know, Daddy's dying. You know, we need to go see him before anything happens. I was like, I don't need to go. Well, I need to go. And it's like, you know, you're his child. You need to go. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, let's go. Let's go. No problem. So we all go over to Manhattan to see my father. And one of my nieces, who is one of those kids that say whatever's on their mind, but does, you know, doesn't mean anything, but they come out the mouth for the kids, says, wait a minute. Grandpa's white. My father turns to us and says, you never told them? And I said, tell them what? What was there to I didn't know I had to say, oh, by the way, my father, your grandfather is, it never meant anything to me. He was just my father. He wasn't my white father. He was my father. And he couldn't understand. I said, well, see, that's why your mother was the way she was, because deep down in your heart, you have some issues going on too then. Because do you say, I have 14 black children? Is that what you tell people when you tell them? Or do you say you have 14 children? How do you fucking describe us? Because I don't say I have a white father. Unless somebody asks, like, you know, are you mixed? What are you? And that shit, Jackie, you know, that shit burns me the hell up. You must be mixed with something. Why do I must be mixed with something? All of us are beautiful. Every black person I've ever seen, you're beautiful. Now, maybe on the inside you may not be. You may not be on the inside, but on the outside I think we're all beautiful.
Alrighty,
ladies,
we have a caller on the line. She's our first caller for this evening, a faithful caller. Miss Jamisha, thank you for calling the Every Woman Talk Show.
Hi, Jamisha.
Hi, ladies. Hi. How you guys? You guys got an interesting topic going on tonight, and I was mad that I was late coming on, but I had to tend, to my little baby. But it's a hot topic, and it's you're shelling out a lot of information. I just wanted to thank you guys, and just basically kind of just restate and agree with a lot of things you guys have been saying. We weren't really taught. We really were not taught. And if you look at other cultures and other ethnicities, you'll see like one of the ladies said, you know, Mexicans and even Asians and even Indians that are coming over, they have a method, and what they do is they all stick together. And so their attitude is that everybody gets a chance to make it. We all work together, and then everybody gets their moment in time. But unfortunately, with our people, we're so busy fighting each other. We're so busy in competition with one another. We're so busy, you know, looking to see, well, how did she get that or how did he get that? Why don't you just go and say, listen, I'm interested. How'd you get that? Can you help me? Can you pull me up? Can you show me? Can we work together? You know, and everything that you guys were saying tonight is dead on. And, you know, I have three daughters, and I try to teach them, you know, everybody is equal. You know, nobody is better than each other. Help your sister. Help your, and not just your sister by blood, but your sister. You know, right. Help your sister. If you see, you know, an issue with another young black girl in school and she's having an issue maybe with making friends or whatever, I got one daughter that, you know, that she's really good at making friends. And I'm like, listen, you know, you make sure you break the ice and you help her. That's your sister, too. Pull her up. You know, if maybe they're not clinging to her, you step in and you step forward and you make it easier for her. And it's important that we teach at a young age because we do have to reprogram and break down all those things that were taught us. And that's difficult. It is. It's difficult. So I just want to say, you know, I encourage you guys. You're doing a great job, and I just really enjoy listening to you guys, and I appreciate you guys. And I'm going to keep listening. I just want to continue to call and, you know, and just keep encouraging you guys to keep doing what you're doing.
And
we love
you,
when you call in.
And, Jamisha, don't hang up.
I have a question. Don't hang up. I have a question.
Sure.
How old are your daughters?
I have a 14-year-old, I have a 9-year-old, and I have a 2-year-old.
14, 9, and 2. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had to know that. You'll find out later why. I had to know that.
Okay. No problem. No problem. Yeah, I have 3 young ladies. And so, you know, and even I had my daughter listening, the 14-year-old. You know, sometimes when I'm calling in, I have her listen to certain, you know, components of the show. Because it's just important at an early age to kind of teach them, you know, as they're growing and going into womanhood and just
absolutely.
As young girls, they go through so many things, you know, with that whole, you know, even the cagginess starts and being unequal and all that stuff starts at a young age. So I'm just saying that you guys just continue what you're doing. I see that, you know, it's a really good show, and I want you guys to just stay encouraged and keep going. Keep shooting for the stars. You're doing a great job.
Oh, thanks, Jamisha.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
I just want to kind of piggyback on what Jamisha just said, if I can.
Oh, sorry.
Wait, no, wait, 1 second. Jamisha, don't hang up because you're our first caller, we have a gift that we want to give you. So our producer is going to get your information, and we're going to send you out some Black History information that you can share with the family. So
thank you. That's cool. I appreciate it. I like this.
I like this.
So that works.
We like giving them. So thank you so much for supporting us and calling in, because you are a faithful caller and we really appreciate you. But don't hang up. The producer is going to get your information. And
okay.
We have,
okay.
Thank you. And we also have Dina on the line. Dina, you're on with the Every Woman Talk Show. Hello.
Hello. How are you this evening?
Hello, Dina.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to tell you guys I've been tuning in lately and loving the show. I also have a soon-to-be 13-year-old, and I had her listening with me last week. And it's amazing what they don't teach in school, and she was just dumbfounded, like, wow. So she's going to be an avid listener in certain subjects, of course. But it's really enlightening. Very enlightening. Thank you.
Thank you for calling in and supporting us, and hopefully you
know. How old is your daughter?
She'll be 13 this weekend, and I have an 11-year-old also, daughter, and my son is 4.
Okay. Well, okay, I got that.
Dina, we have some information for you that we like to give you since you're our second caller. Again, we are giving out gifts to, you know, our first 3 callers tonight. So we have something that we want to send to you that you can share with your family about Black history, because we're starting a new trend now. We're not a new trend, but we're getting back to sharing the information within our family. So if you would just hold on and give our producers your name and your information, the Every Woman Talk Show would like to send you something.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you. And please call us again.
Definitely, definitely.
Thank you, Dina.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. All right, you guys, we are not running out of time, but we're getting there. But just one more fact I want to share, and Jackie, I'm going to jump right to you after this. But Juneteenth, it happened June 19th in Galveston, Texas, 2.5 years after slavery ended. The slaves were not free in Galveston, Texas. And they weren't, because the white people, being selfish, being greedy, being stank, they wanted to benefit from another year's harvest. So they did not let the slaves know they were free until General Granger, he enforced it and helped the slaves become free. But even after the slaves were free, it wasn't an easy road. Of course, there was so much death and disease and just sickness running rampant. So it just
after the emancipation, it just was a lot happening, a lot going on. But Jackie, I think you were making a point before our caller came on, and I want to get back to you on that one.
Well, actually, no, it was actually about what Janisha said when she was saying that, you know, why don't we have that mentality when, you know, we see somebody doing well. It's like, hey, can you tell me, you know, what you're doing or how can I go about that? And I was actually going to plug back into Sig's point about the whole Willie Lynch situation and how we keep kind of perpetuating this cycle over and over and over, in which it was said it would last for 300 years. And very well we're there, because as long as we continue to not have that sense of unity, that whole sense of, you know what, let me show you, and then you show you, and you show you, and you show you how to kind of pull it all together, as long as there's division, you'll never take the largest group of people in this country and let them ascend to what it is that they should be. Nielsen has rated us as spending over $13 trillion in this country last year. That is a powerful number. With $13 trillion, we could control so much, but we don't focus our spending. We don't say, okay, we're only going to spend our money with black businesses, or we're going to spend the majority of our money with black businesses, or we don't say that, you know what, if your organization, your company doesn't treat our race of people in a certain way, we're going to stop spending with you. Do you know how much control that would be?
I don't think we want it to be about as much control as support of one another. Part of the problem with that is that we don't treat each other right. I mean,
absolutely.
You can be in a store, and you walk in the store, and Boom Chic is my ghetto name, and Boom Chic is at the counter. She's going to treat, and Susie Chapstick means that she's a Caucasian, she's going to treat Susie Chapstick better than she's going to treat Susie Smith, who's a black girl.
She's going to treat
Susie Lee, who's Asian, better than she's going to treat Susie Smith. She's going to yes her, yes ma'am, no ma'am, them. And then when Susie Smith walk up, she's going to be smacking on gum, talking on her cell phone about her plans for the night with all her red hair in her head. So, if I'm spending my money with you, if you're the person I have to give my money to, and I have to give it to you with an attitude, and my stuff is going to be thrown, and you're going to snatch my money to keep me from catching a case, I'm going to go ahead and shop at Susie Chapstick store.
That's absolutely right.
And again, it goes back to that whole sense of I can treat you any kind of way, because for whatever reason, I'll treat these people better because of some fraction that we've been taught somewhere along the line that they're better, and I have to treat them a certain kind of way. But I can treat you any kind of way.
Because we, in our warped mind, think they're going to treat us better because they're better. So we don't want to support them. We want to go support. Of course they're not. But unfortunately, we have become a society of, I'm not going to patronize this black company because they're not going to do it right because they're black. But we're going to patronize the chinks over here getting their nails done because they know what they're doing. Or we're going to go to this bank because they're white. Or we're not going to go to this black-owned bank because they don't know what they're doing. There are several black-owned banks in this area, and I'm almost 100% sure half of us don't even know where they're at.
I know what
you mean. I would have to agree with you. I only know one black owned bank down here in the South, and I don't know any other anywhere else. And
We have a few.
That's where our money is going to go, because that's where the investments are going to go, so that the money comes back to our community, so that it's about us, and that's what we should do. And it's hard for us to do that because we're too busy worried about somebody getting to the finish line before the next person. Whereas if we just realize if you uplift, help, and support that person, guess what? Right after they cross the finish line, you're going to cross the finish line too.
Right where.
Amen.
Yep.
Well, you know, the bottom line is that we need to support one another. Even if it's as simple as, you know, buying the heritage stamps at the post office, buy your own. Ladies, we buy so much hair and so many beauty products. Find a black-owned beauty supply store. And if you can't find one, a retail brick-and-mortar store, then order from someplace online.
I do.
Oh, I got one right here down the street from me at my job who I deal with.
Exactly. But, ladies, it's time for closing thoughts. Of course, our time just went. And
wow.
Since it's almost like we're at the beauty shop, we can, you know, ladies, how we do it. We can go on endlessly. But time for closing thoughts. And, Jackie, I want to start out with you. Give us some closing thoughts or some closing facts or just a summation of what you think about our topic tonight.
My closing stat is actually something, and it's a little more up-to-date. I moved to Memphis, Tennessee, back in 1994, and when I was there, I heard something on the news that I couldn't even fathom, that Mississippi did not officially outlaw slavery until 1995. It was not taken off the legislative books until 1995.
Wow.
So what does
that
mean?
Wow. In Mississippi, they probably don't even know it's off the books.
They don't. It had to make news. So, and the sad thing is that Tennessee only followed by 2 years prior.
Wow. Wow.
Just a little something to leave you with.
Now, that's
serious. Well, something to chew on. Uli, give us your closing thoughts.
You know, the great, wonderful thing about this is we can go on and on and on because we have so much history to talk about. We have contributed so much to this society. It's an ever-ending conversation we could have. You guys are so bright and intelligent. You've dug up so much wonderful things. I just can't wait every Tuesday to get on the phone with you guys. I just can't wait to hear what we're going to talk about next.
Awesome. And Sig, give us your closing thoughts.
My closing thoughts is going to be one more time. I'm going to give you guys something. I'm telling everybody to research it. Research is key. Today, all I have to say is the miseducation of the Negro. Read it. When you control a man's thinking, you do not have to worry about his actions. He will find his proper place and will stay in it. You do not need to send him to the back door. He will go without being told. In fact, if there is no back door, he will protest until one is made for his use. His education demands it. Dr. Carter G. Woodson, The Miseducation of the Negro. Read it.
Amazing. Absolutely an amazing read.
Awesome. Actually, I just ordered the book. I have it here. You know what? My closing thoughts are there are no more excuses, and that's for all of us, adult and child alike. There's tons of information out there, and all we have to do is go get it. Go look for it. I think, you know, let's start and continue to support our own. Find a black business that you can buy from. Start your own business. Don't, you know, we can't always look to somebody else. We got to start here at home. Some suggested reading materials, you know, Sick from Slavery. Excellent book. Sig just said it, The Miseducation of the Negro. You can go on Amazon and or you can go to the library, borrow the book, but I would suggest you purchase it so you can kind of cuddle up with it and hold it and not
actually
just teach it, but pass it on to somebody
Google
else.
You can Google that one and print it out.
You can Google it or print it out for people that don't have computers, but pass it on to somebody else. That's another way of sharing. Give it to somebody to give it to somebody else and keep passing it on. So, ladies, wonderful show, wonderful topics. You know, just some other things that created by Black Inventors, the hairbrush, the lawnmower. These are things that the cell phone, the refrigerator, the stoplight. So every time, you
video
know,
game
a person,
cartridges.
Yes. Every time a person is driving on the street, you know, you're looking at it, you're obeying a black inventor. So those are some small things. But, again, also Valentine's Day is Friday, and I want to wish you ladies a happy Valentine's Day and happy Valentine's
Day
to all of our callers.
If anybody needs to order anything, I am baking and doing chocolate-covered strawberries for Valentine's Day. Hit me up.
Jackie, say it again. Cause
I am doing chocolate-covered strawberries, and I am baking chocolate mousse cupcakes, strawberry shortcake cupcakes, champagne cupcakes, and red velvet cupcakes for Valentine's Day.
And how can they contact you?
You can go onto my Facebook page, or you can go to the Every Woman Talk Show page, and you can get in touch with me.
All right.
Okay. Ladies, before we go, real quick. At my job, we would get a book. One person would buy a book. You'd read the book. You sign the back of the book, and you pass it along. I'm going to get a book. I'm going to read the book. I'm going to sign the book, and I'm going to pass it along. I'll send it out in the mail.
I hear you.
And I want
absolutely
it to keep going.
Great.
The thrill is when that book comes back to you full circle and there are so many names and there are people you don't know. It's a blessing.
It is.
Awesome.
It is.
And everybody, awesome. We just encourage everybody to do that.
I can't wait.
I also brought I brought a DVD on Amazon. It's called Up From Slavery. It's 8
Fantastic.
Hours, but it's
yes.
such great information. So it's
yes.
the month of February, and we shouldn't just wait till February. Everybody has a DVD mm-hmm. player at home. Get a DVD. Get something and sit down. Tell the kids to cut the phones off. Stop the texting, stop the video games, and share and learn some information. But on that note, again, we want to wish our callers and our listeners, our boos, our honeys, everybody, happy Valentine's this Friday. Love the one you're with. If you ain't got nobody, then love yourself in a decent, clean way. And also, we want to remind you. Yes, we want to remind you that every Tuesday night is Ladies Night here at the Every Woman Talk Show. It's hot. It's happening. Meet us here every Tuesday night at 7 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. That's p.m. And the Man Up Talk Show is Friday at 8 p.m. And also the Game Strong Sports Talk Show with Trey Davis airs Monday night at 8 p.m. And also we want to remind our listeners to support the event February 22nd. That is the Relay for Life event. February 22nd at Science Park High School in Newark, New Jersey. Again, it's only a $25 donation, you guys. You can also go onto the Every Woman Talk Show page on Facebook and find the event. Click donate, support. And also we're going to be coming to you again and again about the relay on June 14th. You can come out and join the Every Woman Talk Show team. We're going to be out there. You can come and see us, meet us, take pictures with us, get to know us. But most importantly, we're going to be out there supporting cancer. Everybody knows somebody and has been affected by cancer. We need to come and learn and support. We always saying we don't do enough or we don't get together. Let's get together. Let's stick together. Let's support this. On that note, on behalf of myself and the women at the Every Woman Talk Show, we just thank you so much for supporting us. Thank you for the likes on Facebook. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for loving us and calling in. We love you just as well. We represent you because you are every woman. That note, good night, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Good night.
Good night.
Besides, relationships are for people that are just waiting for something better to come.
Spoken like a cynic.
I'm not a cynic. I'm a realist.
Who are a realist masquerading as a cynic who is secretly an optimist.
Because of the way it was delivered.
How do you think a woman should put that to a man? How do you think that a woman should say to a man, this doesn't work for me? Or, you know, I'm not getting what I need from you.
I'm just so excited because tonight is the premiere of the Every Woman Talk Show. I am Nate, one of your co-hosts, and I am joined by a fantastic panel of women this evening. Uli, Signature, and Jackie, we're all sisters with different opinions. So for the next hour, we're going to talk about...
Shadow. Radio.